All right, welcome to Flagship Digital Insights here on Yotin International Radio. Today we have Mark Hobart from InfoBoss in with us talking all about data. Mark, if you'd like to introduce yourself so we know where all this information is coming from, that would be amazing.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, great. My name's Mark Hobart. I'm from a company called InfoBoss, which is a business that we founded a couple of years ago now. With myself and a colleague, Richard Lewis. And the reason why we created InfoBoss is because we recognize the importance and value of data going forwards. It's a well-known fact that data is growing and increasing to grow year on year, but it's becoming more and more difficult to manage and process that data as it grows, with the likes of compliance and data quality, and not just those sort of negative aspects that need to be managed, but also the opportunity that data can generate within the business, with many organizations looking to leverage their data value to enhance their competitiveness and grow their businesses.
Yeah, I always think this about data, because there's the it's a really negative side to it, but also a very positive side of it. So just before we really get into what you guys do and some of the capabilities of what you can do with data, what's the magnitude of the problems that can arise if it is mismanaged or not managed correctly?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest aspects that's affected the consciousness of many business owners and business leaders, it has been the General Data Protection Regulation, which came into force in May 2018. That introduced a whole new set of legislation across Europe, which has had ramifications worldwide. And what can happen for the mismanagement of data is you could end up having to pay 4% of annual turnover as a fine. And some of the activity that's been undertaken in the last couple of years by the regulators in different European countries has sort of indicated that they've been focused on a lot of the bigger IT-based companies. But there's also been a growing level of penalization coming in for organizations further down the food chain, if you like. And what we're starting to see now is sort of everyday businesses being checked to see what they're doing. And it's not just for the fine side of it. There's a pretty widely held statistic. It's £99 per record in the UK as a consequence of a data breach. So if you end up leaking 1,000 records, that's potentially £100,000 pounds worth of costs associated with remediating that. We've also seen evidence of stock listed companies losing up to 7% of their stock value almost immediately off the back of declaration of a data breach. So the reputational damage, as well as the financial impact from compliance, can be quite severe. And it's not just that. There's also the operational inefficiencies that are introduced by having to comply. There's been a good example in recent times has been there's an increase in data subject access requests. This is disaffected employees or customers who are seeking information that's held about themselves by the organization. And obviously with the coronavirus and COVID-19, there's been a significant number of people made redundant, and this is likely to manifest itself as even more of these types of requests, which are notoriously difficult to resolve and could lead anything up to 10 to 20 days or even more in some cases to actually find all the information that's required to service that. And then on the other aspect, you've got data quality, which requires a significant amount of effort. A lot of people have adopted sort of sticking plaster type techniques in the past for fixing the data. The problem is, of course, data moves very, very quickly. So a few days after you've fixed your data, it's probably already starting the process of going out of alignment again and becoming poor quality. So there's a window of opportunity to leverage it there. So one of the things that we're looking to try to achieve is to help an organization on a journey to continuously improve their compliance and data quality improvement processes.
But we talk about digital transformation. So there's quite a lot of companies moving from quite old processes that are often very physical and paper orientated and going into the digital space with their marketing as well as business functions and things like that. And data is a huge part of it. So could you go into a little bit more about assessing how valuable that data may well be and how you start that process?
Absolutely. I read recently there was some research, I can't remember who it was now, but it was they indicated that there's 2/3 of businesses were either on a digital transformation journey or about to commence one. And I actually think that's probably a lot more now, because in a post-COVID-19 world, or even as we're in coronavirus world, what we're seeing is a growing number of organizations looking at online trading or embarking upon digital journeys with their clients as a means of engagement. So it's the data that underpins that is fundamentally important. And it could be something as simple as the way that you engage with a customer in terms of how you call them could have an impact on how you're perceived. So for example, your name's Ben, but equally you could prefer to be referred to as Benjamin. So when you are engaged, if you use the wrong name, that's immediately going to set you off at a disadvantage with that client. And it's something as small as that which could make a big difference to the way you're perceived by where your brand is perceived. So the ability to have data at all of the potential touch points that make sense in that context is crucially important. And most organizations won't have that, and they need means of managing the data to facilitate delivering that quality data into that transaction to support their engagement. And that's one of the things that we can help.
Yeah. So you touched on it a few times. I suppose this is all data quality. And with something like Ben or Benjamin, are there two different data points that actually to a human being that you talk to every day or even a customer might communicate with? How do you go about cleaning that data to really make sure that your processes, especially automated processes, can work and use this data? Because I know it's something you do at InfoBoss. Feel free to do talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's really interesting.
Yeah, one of the things that we first do is look at the data that you currently hold, and we audit that data. So we can do a very, very quick assessment as to the integrity of the data, you know, what's missing, what the outlying values are in any particular field. And we can start to advise as to what needs to be changes to the processes that are used to capture that data that need to be put in place to correct it. Now, once the data has been identified and you've gone through this discovery exercise, you can then start to put in rules against the data to monitor it on an ongoing basis. So this is a great way of building a data improvement culture within the organization. So not just a one-off fix, it's something that's there forever going forward. So the rules that you've established are constantly being monitored against the data. So if a new client comes on and the preferred name is not included in that, you could be notified of that straight away to take action to remedy the situation. Obviously, you can also seek to change your data entry systems to make sure that gets captured, but it's not always possible to do that with data, and you need an independent view. Now, because a machine's doing it, it doesn't miss anything. It's constantly at it on your behalf.
Yeah, I've been there and done this stuff. So I used to do some admin for the back end of an e-commerce website, sports equipment. And then each year we'd have the next year's range coming in, and then we plot all this data. We get it from the brand, But there was this huge process. It took like a month or two. It was our winter jobs.
Yeah.
Where you went through it, and because the website needed the data in exact format, it had to be exact, uploading from Excel spreadsheets. And
yeah. Things.
And it took forever to go through and change where the dots were, if there was a capital letter in the wrong place. I remember that took us about a week to solve. Yeah.
They're good examples, Ben. Good examples. Yeah.
And so I do know you do a little bit, or you're at least starting to explore the customer voice analysis. And from a marketing and PR point of view, becomes really interesting, because I see it as a jump from qualitative feedback and saying how good someone's work is, especially in PR. And that's quite difficult to measure. But this actually makes a jump into quantitative analysis. So it's really undeniable and very transparent how effective the work has been. Could you tell us a bit more about what you're doing there?
Yeah, sure. Quite a lot of brands, they engage with their customers to provide feedback about products, services, and the way they're delivered. And one method is through reviews, which people will submit online and enter details about the brand. But you've also got call centers that could be recording transcripts of a conversation with a customer, and you've also got customer satisfaction surveys, net promoter score type surveys. All of this stuff can be boiled down to text, and once you've got a body of text, you can then start to analyze that text. You can analyze it for sentiment, and you can analyze it for meaning. Now, if you've got that insight into what your customers are saying about you, you can adapt really, really quickly to a changing market dynamic, and potentially seek to offer new products and services more quickly, identify what's your most favored products and services, which are your least favored products and services, what's going well, what's not going well, what do the customers feel about your brand? And all of this can be captured through text. And the delivery of that text to a form that can then be analyzed and processed. And that's the domain that we're beginning to operate in now, in terms of working with customers to understand their textual data that they can gather about their clients, and then be able to analyze that and make sense of it and add some value into the equation.
Yeah, and surely this becomes a bit of a goldmine for even things as big as kind of brand strategy. And assessing their values, actually knowing what that customer really feels or what their pain point really was that caused that purchase. You can then make an informed decision and say, well, actually, 20% of our customers bought our product or service for a reason that we weren't actually marketing for.
Yeah,
and maybe they're in a different location, or we need to use better wording and messaging.
Absolutely. What's important to customers? What do they discuss in these forums? Is that something that we could add as a feature to or a change of the way we deliver a service? So all of this stuff gives you that insight, which is going to make all the difference in the future, because it's not just about all the negative stuff around improving the data quality and the compliance. It's about how do you leverage value out of this data that you've got going forward to give you a competitive advantage within the marketplace.
Yeah, and on that, so I always like to finish on a kind of expectations for the future and what things will become. I've heard data being considered the new oil, or the oil of the next generation, things like that, because it is going to become so valuable. But where do you see the biggest value in data and what it will kind of evolve into?
Yeah, I guess the it's interesting that the data is the new oil, because oil is very much a passé term. Maybe we should say data is the new electric yacht of the future or something like that. That might be more resonance. I think data is crucially important. as I mentioned earlier, so many organizations are on digital journeys. They're looking at using automation and artificial intelligence and machine learning. All of this is dependent upon having your data management and processing procedures in place and working within the organization. You know, let's not lose sight of the fact that we are in the early stages of exponential growth in data. Back in 2016, I think it was IDC had predicted there'd be a tenfold increase in data by 2025. There was some other research just last year which indicated there's going to be a fivefold increase in data between now and 2025. And then we're likely to see data doubling every couple of years thereafter. So this is not going to go away. So if you haven't got your processes and procedures around the way you manage and process your data in place now, or at least starting on the journey to get them in place now, you could be at a serious disadvantage within the marketplace by not having done so.
Yeah, and I suppose it's forming these systems where the value comes, because it's not actually just sort out our data, job done, well done us. It's actually establishing the system to then constantly mine that data to get value from and progress.
Yeah, and many organizations, I believe, have adopted a flawed process for this, which relies on people to do that work for them. It's a very people-centric business. If you look at data management in the past, there is a lot of focus on recruiting a data protection officer, recruiting somebody to look after data quality, putting in place a data analytics team, a business intelligence team. Of course, all of this does is it creates silos within a business that are focused, and it's almost like you stick your head in the sand. It's all right, we've got somebody that deals with data, they're over there. The successful organizations of the future, every employee is going to be able to engage with data and leverage value from that data. And that's the journey that we're on with InfoBoss, is to make that data as an asset within every organization.
Yeah, I can't resist this last point, because I've had a few conversations about it recently, about it's the centralization of data. So rather than even just being clean or holding data legally, actually making it accessible by everyone in the company and across an organization.
Yeah,
is just beautiful, because it can be cloud based. You don't even need a physical server. Everyone has access to it. There's none of this 100 email chains long. There's certainly no credit card details in them, and all this sort of thing that arises problems. But people can use it so easily, even remotely working at home. You can all be on the same page and access this to do the job.
Yep.
Better.
Yep. We call that data democratization. So it's about democratizing data. It's treating your data as an asset that every business has assets, and you look after those assets. Data is probably the most important asset every business has, and yet it's the one that they pay least attention to. And unfortunately, those that don't pay attention to it, I think, are going to be found wanting in the future. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the marketplace unfolds in that regard. And I think there's a really good quote actually by a colleague of mine who uses this quite a bit, which is the cost of being reactive rather than proactive can be high in the face of a rapidly changing marketplace. I think he's absolutely right in that sentiment.
All right, that's beautiful. We'll finish on that quote. I love it. So you have been listening to Yachting International Radio with Flagship Digital Insights by myself, Ben Taylor. Mark, thank you so much for coming along. That was amazing. Thank you very much.
No worries, Ben. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
All right, bye for now, everyone.